but very elegant. She put the head in front. What's a Dave got? He's coming back. The gloves are off. They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very elegant. A head on a Dave. He's trying, but she's going to beat him.
Hello and welcome back to the B Set, Randwick Guineas Day. I'm Nick Burney. Can't wait for tomorrow's racing as I bring in Ray Hickson. Couple of group ones, plenty of bets to be had. How's the confidence level? Randwick, 3 metres, good track. Let's bet up.
Huh. Confidence levels are always high before the meeting. it's an interesting meeting from a betting perspective. Obviously, there's a couple of short price favourites, a couple of really tricky races. Look, I'd expect we're going to get a fair go with Randwick on Saturday.
Yep.
Doesn't appear to be any significant rain around. Good four, rail 3 metres. I don't think really generally produces any significant
Just off,
but yep. If that's the case, that's okay. Let's get stuck into the guineas.
Well, yeah, that's right. Guineas. So group one, over 1,600 metres. So coming out of the back chute, plenty of time for horses to find their positions. Look, there's two dominant favourite, or the dominant favourite here, and a clear second pick. And Militri's favourite, Celestial Legend, second pick. Is it one of those two for you, Ray, or do you look outside the box, I suppose?
Yeah, it's definitely one of those two.
I agree.
I'm denied a little bit. Militarize does have a very good case to be the clear favourite, given what he's done to date. And obviously, that Apollo Stakes form as a lead-up run
pretty good
should hold a fair bit of weight. That said, I'm going to go with the upside of Celestial Legend because, he should clearly have the rest of the field covered.
Yep.
Based on what we saw in the Hobartville. I know Tom Kitten and a couple of others will improve further out to a mile, but there's nothing to say that this horse won't either. And just the way he did it, particularly that last 50 to 100 metres, the way he just stormed away was very classic Legend-like.
Yeah, I agree. The way he just held his action, those last couple of bounds, there is something about him, isn't there?
But obviously, he's only had the 6 starts, and you know, by the time Militarize had 6 starts, he'd won 2 Group 1s. So there's, you know, he's a bit behind the 8 ball as far as experience goes. He's got that outside barrier, which, as you said, with the Randwick Mile start being particularly fair, I'd imagine Kieran McAvoy will be looking to do something similar to what he did in the Hobartville and find that spot in the first half of the field. He got him into the 1-1 pretty easily from barrier 10.
It was a 10 out of 10 ride.
It was. So that's really the only question mark with Celestial Legend, I think. I think that Militarize has the right setup. He's got a good barrier. He should be able to hold a position somewhere in the midfield mark. I mean, we haven't seen him at a mile and beyond that many times. He's only been to it 3 times. Once, obviously, 2,000 metres in the Cox Plate, the Caulfield Guineas and the Champagne Stakes.
Yeah.
So, if he's behind Celestial Legend in the run, it's going to be very interesting.
I don't think he will be.
You don't think he will?
No, I think Group 1, James McDonald, he'll be quite positive on this horse. And purely, it's the best bet on the day for me, Militarize. And you've labelled a few good points. I just thought he was really solid there, first up in the Apollo, splitting Fangirl and Think It Over. I thought he was quite forward for the run, but in saying that, I think he was probably that half a run short, obviously, to peak for tomorrow. The blinkers were on, and it was just that wait for age toughen up run. So back to the own age group here. I think just can quickly improve again second up. Won the Golden Rose second up last preparation. He just has a real second up profile thing about him, and his figures do back that up. And it's just the key to me is the tactical advantage with McDonald on. I just think it's a massive plus. I think he's just going to be quite handy midfield at worst. Not to mention he started $8.50 in a Cox Plate, and that form's worked out internationally, again with Romantic Warrior winning in Hong Kong, and also here in Australia, the subsequent winners to come out of it. So I think he's very hard to beat. I do think we'll probably get closer to $2.50, $2.60, purely because I think that there'll be a few punters out there that are just looking at the $4.20, $4 Celestial Legend and say that's a little bit big. But I think there's only two hopes, and I think Militarize is very hard to beat.
Look, it might come down to a little bit of any particular pattern that happens during the day, or not necessarily a pattern, but if you can run on, down the outside, so that'll suit probably both of them. But if you need to be up and in, it'll be interesting to see the tactics that they take on Militarize and Celestial Legend for that matter. And that might decide, you know, who's the stronger supported horse. I mean, Militarize could start $2.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Celestial Legend could start, you know, $3 in each of two.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to see how that pans out. Obviously, Militarize, you're right, he does have that weight for age form. He had 49.5 in the Cox Plate.
Yeah.
And he had the three-year-old advantage in the Apollo, although it's not quite as distinct. So, like, I'm not putting any, I'm not saying I'm putting any significant weight on the fact that he's, you know, on level weights with these horses back again, because he has beaten them under those conditions, but he's also been beaten under those conditions.
Yes, of course.
So, clearly the horse to beat. Surprise nobody if he wins this race.
No, that's right, yeah.
And it's going to be very intriguing because we've also got Tom Kitten, who started favourite in that Hobartville.
Yeah,
who
I know. Will
appreciate the mile, but maybe, as we saw in the spring, once he gets to 2,000 metres will be when we see him find a leg.
Well, in saying that, if he gets out to a silly price...
which he probably will.
He could get out... It really depends. Maybe another point or two, then I might have to chop out of him, because I did always think once he got to the 1,600 metres, he'd be awfully hard to beat. With that said, I do think it's only two hopes.
Yeah.
But if he does keep getting out, he becomes probably too big of an overlay where... I just couldn't possibly see him win and not have something on him if he gets around to that double figure mark.
Mm.
All right, let's move on to the Group 1 Canterbury Stakes, 1,300 metres, another weight for age race. And we have the Tab Everest champion coming back first up in Think About It.
You got to think about that, don't
yes,
you?
I know.
Particularly after thinking over one last week. Goodness me, if they clash in the...
Oh.
If they get to the Queen Elizabeth... Good luck to Darren Flindell.
Yeah, I know.
How do you punch too many holes in Think About It?
You can't.
It's really tricky. I mean, look, he's got barrier 8 or 7, sorry, after the scratching. The interesting thing about this race is what Malkovich does out in front, because he's obviously going to be the leader and Cole Crusher the horse on his coattails. As we saw in the expressway, he opened them up. Now, you know, I did talk to Josh Parr after that race, and he was of the opinion that had the track been that little bit firmer, he might have held on. But he said he erred slightly in the Southern Cross by holding him back to the field. So while Malkovich is a strong risk at 1,300 metres, there's only one way he's going to be ridden, and that's to break the field up.
And the other horse, Cole Crusher, the last time the blinkers went on, he went out at a very fast pace in the Hunter and completely ran them ragged. So for those horses to win tactically, there's no point doing a sit and sprint because they will get beaten. So I think they have to get going really at the 800 metres or run at a very genuine sustained speed throughout and just try to take the likes of Think About It and Espiona out of their comfort zones. Yes, they might be too strong late, but... tactically, I think that's their best chance of winning, is making a genuine test.
I think that, look, Sam Clifford will be wary with Think About It. I think that he will be, I'd be surprised if he settles last.
Yep.
But I don't think he'll settle third.
No.
So it'll be somewhere in that middle section, I would imagine, because he doesn't really have anything to drag him over.
No.
You know, Lady Laguna's drawn next to him. Cole Crusher's drawn 5. Obviously, we know where he's going. So, gee, you'd love to see the first 100 metres, wouldn't you?
Yeah, with that said, though, if they want to go out hard, he can have a look and then probably slot in.
Yeah,
there's every chance you can get the 1-1.
That's right. So, look, there's nothing to suggest he's not going to come back just as good as he was last preparation. Yes, he was beaten in the Giga Kick Stakes, as it was last year, at the end of that prep. But perhaps he was trained right up for the Everest and it was, you know... Not so much. It wasn't an afterthought because he was always going to run in the race, but perhaps the Everest did
take it out
just take it out of him. And
look,
he wasn't disgraced. He was only beaten a length. But look, it's a big day for him because he's now at that level. You look at where he started last preparation in the Takeover Target Stakes.
Yeah.
You know, then he went Kingsford Smith, Stradbroke, Premier, Everest, you know, bang, 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 all the way. He's now at the top level. He's the... highest rated horse in this race by a fair way.
Yep.
And he's been trained slightly differently, but at the same time, he's still going to have to be trained to win, or, well, not so much to win, but to run really well here at 1,300 metres, because it's different to training him to win, say, a Premier first up at 12.
Absolutely.
His next run's at 15 in the Ryder, and then he's got to be at his peak for the Doncaster, which is only a month away.
Yep.
So he's not going to be too far off. I mean, he's not going to be right at his top now, but he's not going to be too far away.
Yeah, no, I agree. But, well, I can't wait for that Doncaster.
Yeah.
It's going to be an absolute cracker. Look, for me, I've just slightly leaned to Espiona. Purely just on the prices. So that's just the way I tip. I just couldn't get think about it odds on. I thought it was more a $2.20, $2.30 chance. Espiona, just a little bit of an overlay. So I'm happy to put her on top. And I just thought she was fantastic first up there at Flemington, the Black Caviar down the Flemington Straight. They absolutely walked up in front, so she was mathematically out of it. But I just loved how she held her action. She wanted to find the line. That was the best first up figure and one of her career peaks she's come in on.
Mm.
So there's every chance this could be her best preparation as a five-year-old mare. McDonald from the inside draw, just having the suck run. If he gets the split, she has the acceleration, the closing speed. To be very strong here late. So just at the price, I wanted to put her on top. But in a race I don't want to get too involved in because I got so much respect for Think About It, but I could have something small on Espiona.
Well, given the way the race given the way we expect the race to be run, she shouldn't be waiting for gaps. There should be plenty of, you know, there should be plenty of opportunities for J-Mac to push the button when he wants to.
Yeah, and the run under the belt also got me over the line.
Well, the question mark now, I guess, is if that was a career peak, does she go up or down?
Well, I think there's every chance she could step again off that first up run.
Her second up record suggests she possibly goes up second up. That was her best performance, obviously, in open company. Yep. And, you know, obviously she ran in the Everest, finishing midfield. She ran fourth behind Imperatrix after that, after winning the invitation. So, going to be, yeah, she is an intriguing runner in this race. She's always had that ability.
Yeah.
I think she won the Coolmore Classic this time last year, did she not?
She's
really sort of continued to step up.
She did win the Coolmore Classic. Yeah,
she's continued to step up. Like she'd always had that sort of head case kind of reputation where she was stacked with ability but just didn't know what to do. A little bit like Very Elegant, perhaps, as an early horse. You know, she was a bit sort of hard to handle. Espiona has settled down quite a deal, and her record is showing that, and she is the logical danger. I can't disagree, but I can't tip against Think About It. I just, you know, he's won 11 from 13 and run third the other two. Unbeaten first up, unbeaten at the track and distance.
There's every chance he just sails down the middle of the track and everyone goes, why didn't we take $1.90? Yeah. That was silly, but
I don't think he'll drift significantly.
Yeah,
I
mean,
unless he comes out into the yard and looks like a woolly mammoth.
Yeah.
Which is highly unlikely given the videos I've seen of him recently. So, yeah, look, and punters love him.
Yeah,
like punters
look at his
love
record.
Yeah, punters look love horses like that. And
if you isolate his Giga Kick Stakes run, which you said he deserves to be an evens chance, if not odds on, it's just for me, I thought he was more 5-4. But
yeah.
With that, thanks for bringing that up, that Coolmore Classic, because I was on Pride of Jenny at $34 or something, and, you know, just look what it's done now. So instead of having a head-to-head, we're going to go the three-way brigade in the Todman. Have to talk about this race. It's an absolute cracker.
You could probably argue it's four or five.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. But I want to go Straight Charge, Switzerland second line of betting, and Espionage the third line of betting. Was it one of those three, Ray, or did you?
Yeah, look, elsewhere? This is really fascinating, and I'm really pleased that this is such a great contest.
Yeah.
I think from memory, last year's Todman and the Riesling were only four or five horse fields, and we didn't really learn a whole lot about the Golden Slipper, whereas obviously Storm Boy sits at the top of the tree in the Golden Slipper, but we're going to find out how serious a danger some of these horses are going to be, because, I mean, even taking the Magic Millions aside, we haven't seen a clash like this in the two-year-old ranks, and you can include the Blue Diamond in that. This season at all, where you've got...
I agree. It's such a good race.
You've got Shangri-La Express, who won the Golden Gift back in November. Straight Charge, obviously the Silver Slipper winner. Espionage, Breeders' Plate winner. Silver Slipper runner-up. Switzerland's 2 from 2. And Bodyguard is 2 from 2. And he was controversial scratching from the Blue Diamond when he was one of the favourites.
Yeah, and looked well placed. So, great race. Which way?
I tipped Espionage in the Silver Slipper.
Yep.
And I'm going to stick with him here because I think he's going to get a better setup than he did in that race.
Yep.
Now, yeah, he had every possible chance. He jumped well and he let Nash let Straight Charge cross him and he just couldn't run him down. But I liked how strong he was in that last little bit. He was just sort of nipping away. And looking at this race, I can't see any horse getting complete control.
No.
You would imagine, I mean, Straight Charge and Shangri-La Express both do the same things in their races.
Yeah.
So far. I can't see that changing too much.
Is there the opportunity, I want to ask you this question, for Shangri-La Express to finally be ridden with cover?
Look, there's the opportunity, but whether that's in the best interest of the horse, well, I don't know. We've only really seen him lead, haven't we?
Yeah, I've just always thought he'd be better ridden with cover, but...
You don't know until you find out, exactly. I suppose. Is this the race to find out, given that the grand final's in 2 weeks?
No, let Espionage cross, but...
I don't think Espionage will look to cross. I think he'll look to find cover himself. Yeah. A little bit like the Breeders' Plate, where I think he was 3 deep with cover.
I agree. I think they look to find cover because we've got the grand final in a couple of weeks and you don't want to be 3 wide out on a limb before your grand final.
I think the Silver Slipper is the way to go. So I went Espionage to get over the top of Straight Charge this time at the 1,200 metres.
I'm with you. I think there's just the gate's been priced way too much. It's been factored way too much into his price. Mm. I thought that was a great first up run. Just... You said that last 100 metres and through the line, fastest last 200 of the meeting, but that last 100 was so strong. They beat the rest easily there. I think the big change is, so that was Rose Hill 1,100 metres.
Mm.
Now they go to Randwick 1,200 metres, which is a completely different setup. Nash sticking here, I think he's going to be awfully strong. And I think he's around $4.80 now. I think there's way too far apart.
Never afraid of backing Nash from a wide gate.
No.
He gets it right. More often than not.
Yeah.
As we saw, I mean, this wasn't a wide gate. We saw with Think It Over last week, you know, he read the play perfectly, ducked up the inside, and the horse was far too good. So,
ramming 1,200 metres, if the fence is a little bit off, drawing wide, is actually almost a plus.
Yeah.
So, I think it's just being factored way too much.
I think this is a big day for Switzerland.
Yes.
We're going to find out whether he is the inverted commas real deal or not. Obviously, he's won 2 from 2, and... He got the better late there of Shangri-La Express. It didn't look pretty.
But I thought it was tradesman-like.
And yeah, but he was probably ridden upside, perhaps a little upside down to win that race. So there'll be no excuses for him here. He's drawn perfectly. I'd imagine he'll be 1-1 or thereabouts. And he will get every possible chance. And I think it's pretty obvious to say whoever wins this race will be a clear second favourite.
Yep.
Unless it's a... really tight
a flashy
two, or, run. two or three way photo finish or something like that where Stormboy might even shorten.
Yeah.
My comment for not being there.
My comment on Switzerland is I thought that was a very strong win the other day. He ran okay time against the day, but I think he just added that extra string to his bow and just he had to be ridden outside of his comfort zone that day to win. So I just really liked how he responded under pressure when challenged. My theory is, though, with Switzerland is, and he could easily come out and win on Saturday, they're a little bit like Shinzo. So Shinzo was probably below his best the run before the grand final. And then obviously, as we all know, just went bang in the Golden Slipper. So maybe if Switzerland, I think he's going to be go to that next level, obviously, for his big grand final, Chris Waller grand final trainer. That's the way I assessed the race. I thought... I really like Switzerland as a horse and there's every chance I could swing back to him come Golden Slipper Day. I just think for tomorrow, it's Espionage for me.
Well, what do we do with a couple of these other horses? Bodyguard, for example, was going to be favourite for the Blue Diamond and was scratched. He's been cleared to run. He looked pretty good. He's looked pretty good in his 2 starts.
Yep.
He's probably going to be in the second half of the field. You know, he hasn't been beaten yet, so we don't know where he stands. You've got, you know, probably fringe second tier horses like Get a Fix, perhaps heading towards a size champagne. It'd be interesting to see how he measures up. And even the Queenslander. I mean, David Van Dyke brings this horse down from Queensland. Pretty hard to line up, I guess, given he's won, you know, one race at Doomben over 11.10. starting $6, and he lands in probably the hottest two-year-old race
so far
this season. So, yeah, look, it's interesting that we both landed on Espionage. I just felt like he's timing nicely for the slipper.
Yep.
And I'd be surprised if he's not winning, that he's breathing down their necks again.
Yep.
He's
the one I have eyes on at right now for the slipper. As we said, rose to 1100. He had the best final 100 metres, few bounds on the meeting. We swing back now to Randwick, 1200 metres, completely different setup, and he's going to be awfully strong late. So
it's an interesting clash, though, because we've kind of got two little clashes within one here, because Shangri-La Express and Straight Charge, Shangri-La Express and Switzerland clashed last start, and Straight Charge and Espionage have now clashed twice. So it'll be interesting to see which form line
is the one. That is a good point.
Like I said, I think it's the silver slipper.
I agree. Off times and figures, I would lean that way, but as we know, they can bounce
quite quickly.
Let's go to over the odds. So get into the rapid fire.
Over the odds, over the odds. Look, it's one of those days, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a few that you could find over the odds. Especially later in this program.
You're particularly looking at the mares races and things like that. Look, over the odds is an interesting one. Look, I'm going to look at the aspiration, race 9.
Here we go. Looking forward to this. Because I've got one there too.
I'll declare I've tipped City of Lights on top.
Yep.
But I'm not going to declare her as the over the odds, because I think around 10 to 1 is probably fair.
I've tipped her too.
Yeah. I reckon Awesome Wonder is massive odds at the moment. I think 40 or 50 to 1.
Sneaky first up horse.
Good first up horse. Randwick Mile. I liked what I saw at the end of a trial recently. It was 1,200 metres. Yeah, she won at 2,400 on a soft track before a spell, but I don't know. I just liked what she does early in her preps as well. She's won 2 from 4 first up. Yes, she's thrown in the deep end, but this is anyone's race. Seriously, anyone's race. And at the price she is, I'm definitely throwing her in the quaddy.
Yep.
I'm not saying she should be, 8, 10, 12, 14 to 1 or something like that. She probably should be 20 to 1, but at the price she is, you do a lot worse than throw a horse like her in this race, because there's so many ways to go.
I'm going my old friend. I still don't... Unless she wins on Saturday, I'll probably still be behind her. Tin Tookie. In the last race. Now, she just brings that all-important race fitness edge. A lot of these horses in this final race are all first up. You go back 7 days ago and Tashi won the race. Now, even after adjusting for the day with track deterioration, things like that, that race rated extremely well. And I want to just trust the form coming out of that. And then looking at Tin Tookie's video, she had a genuine excuse there. She was building into the race well, and then she was blocked for a run, forced back into the inferior ground, still picked up well, and ran one of the fastest final 200s of the day. She has the rating in her to win this race. I think she's just going to be smothered away, last shot at them with no weight. So when she gets in with the 53 kilos, she's going to have very strong closing speed. That's only going to enhance that. And around, I think she's $11 now. I think she's just a really good bet to finish the day. And I'm actually going to add another one in that race. I'm going to spec his Powerful Peg. Now, it's about 50 to 1 as well. Put that in your quaddies. Just forget its last couple. It doesn't like sitting outside the leader. It doesn't like leading. It's a horse that needs cover. I know it's drawn wide, but I've seen worse 50 to 1 shots as well. So going to have something on both of those in the last race. Under the odds.
You know what happens when you go wide. The horse you tip on top is favourite wins the rest.
Exactly right.
We've got a couple of candidates for under the odds here, but the one I wanted to zero in on, I guess, was Red Resistance.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, we could all have egg on our faces and Gay and Adrian have done a masterstroke and got this horse back from where it looked like he was in the wilderness there in some of his barrier trials since he ran second in the Todman last year as a short price favourite. I didn't like any of his trials until the last one. Now, maybe that says he's on the way back, but first up off a year off with a tie back, I can't imagine that they allow him to control this race. Looking at all the other potential speed here, you've got Rush Hour from Barrier 1, Fasile from Barrier 3, Ballroom Bella probably has a decision to make from out wide, exploring the same from out wide. They can't possibly allow Nash to control this race. If they do allow Nash to control this race, it's possible he could get away with it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to take 6-4 to find out, given that based on one good barrier trial in 12 months.
So
that's the way I go. Look, you know, he was a horse being talked about as he was one of the favourites for the slipper last year before he was scratched on race day.
But then they were saying they'd want to line him up for an Everest. So, look, I couldn't agree more. The way I suppose my philosophy is if I'm taking 6-4, $2.50, there is no ifs or buts, and there is plenty of those with this horse. It might win, as you said, but there's every chance it might be well beaten. So $2.50, I have to look elsewhere. Look, it's not the strongest race. It doesn't. You can definitely win, but $2.50 with a lot of things probably against, I had to look elsewhere. So I completely agree with you there. And the other one was the other 2-year old was Two Darn Lizzie. Again, $2.50 I thought was pretty well found. So I was looking elsewhere.
Yeah, I kind of find her a bit tricky to work out as well. I think that she's probably slightly less of a risk than Red Resistance. Yep. But two trials at 800 metres or less, off a win over 1,000 metres back in January, going to 1,200 is an ask. But that said, she might get complete control here too. At the same time, I'm not going to tip her on top in that race. I think she could be vulnerable. But
yeah,
I think Red Resistance is the bigger risk.
All right, out wide. Where are we going? Tamworth, back to home.
We're going home to Tamworth. Yeah, we had some luck there at Maroola last week. Yes. So we'll try and double up here on Tamworth.
Outwides have been... We've
been on point with the country championships the last couple of weeks, which has been really good. And I'm going to tip number 4, Super Extreme, in the country championships this week. I love the setup that Cameron Crockett has given this horse. He's had the two runs back. He's carried 60.5 to win first up at Dubbo off an outside gate. Then he's carried 61.5 in the preview at Scone, got way out of his ground, and charged home like he carried 50 kilos to be beaten a length. Now, the horses that beat him home will meet him 8 kilos and around 4 kilos worse for only beating him home by a length or so. He gets a perfect draw. 1,400 metres is no problem. He's raced at Tamworth a few times and has had no troubles there. There'll be good speed here, and it's really up to Ash Morgan to get the timing right with this horse, because as we've seen in a couple of his highway runs, he's only got a 200-metre sprint or so.
He does, yeah.
He won one of those highways in really good style with James McDonald on his back a year or so ago. He ran second to Bandy's Boy in a highway back in October. It's obviously pretty good form now. I think this sets up really well for Super Extreme. So here's the horse I'm tipping in the country championships of the 100 Northwest. But the other horse I want to tip is another Cameron Crockett horse.
Yeah.
In race 1, number 12, Dances with Hooves.
Mm-hmm.
Also ridden by Ash Morgan. It ran on Mudgee Championships Day a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
It started a solidly supported favourite there. From memory, it was pulled out of the gates for a vet check.
Mm.
They allowed it to run. It got far too far back. But gee, you watch him late, or her late, I should say, and she was mowing them down at the end of the race. She was beaten nearly 3 lengths, but up to the mile, nice soft gate. Hopefully everything goes well pre-race. I think this is a horse that's got a little bit of talent, particularly as it gets over a bit of ground, and I reckon it'll be pretty hard to beat in the opener at Tamworth.
So similar up price too, around that four.
Good
way to start the day.
Yeah, it was a race 1, number 12, and in the championships, race 7, number 4. So hopefully Cam Crockett has a good day.
Yes, good luck to Cam Crockett out there. But I'm going to be out at Hawkesbury tomorrow, and I'm quite keen on this meeting. Okay. Yeah, a bit of confidence. And the best bet, out wide, and will be the best on the weekend for me, is in race 3, number 8, a horse called Fakra. Now, it's about $5, and I just think it is a really good bet. It's had a few runs this preparation. Its last two has just been in absolute sit and sprint races. And I just think out to the 2,000 metres now, it's got a perfect platform, it maps to have all favours. And the race it's coming out of, we saw Weimark won that race. Weimark has since gone on to win by the length of the Newcastle straight. last week. We saw She's Got Verve come out and win quite impressively last week. So Fakhri comes out of that race. He looked like he had every chance, but he never shirked his task to the line. And when you really break down his splits, he's running very fast closing sectionals. So out to the 2,000 metres at $5, I think it's a really easy bet for me to have. So we'll go to the best bet soon. What's yours though, Ray?
The best bet. I found this a tricky one to make a best bet.
Yep.
I ended up on race 3, number 10, Canberra Legend as the best bet. Bit of a D-Day as well.
It is.
I think. You know, he came here with a little bit of a rap on him. He was an import in the spring. Started favourite in the Rosehill Cup. Bit of a torrid run on that occasion from memory. Haven't watched that race for a little while, but speaking of torrid runs, he had one of those in the Parramatta Cup first up. But I can't believe he was only beaten half a length. He was gone at the 600 metres and just kept going. Kieran McAvoy is going to have to work a little bit of magic early here from that 2,000 metre starting point. But the way this race, looking at the makeup of this race, I think that this is a massive opportunity for him to find some form. I think he ran well last start, so he doesn't necessarily need to find some form, but to show he's on the trajectory that can take him up through the grades. He's got a relatively high rating for a horse that's only won two races. Just like what I saw there, I think that he can turn the tables on Almania from that race, who had a much easier run and only finished just in front of him. A few of these horses are resuming, the likes of Military Mission, Bois de Jean, Serpentine, and a few other horses that are possibly a little bit outclassed, perhaps. Yep, so
have had their chance.
Yeah, they've had their chance recently. So this is a big chance for Canberra Legend to make some kind of statement. And I thought at around the sort of 350-ish mark, I thought that was fair enough. Like to see him stay solid in the betting. The potential for a scratching or two. I think a couple of these horses are in at Canberra on Sunday. Wouldn't actually be a bad thing if one or two of them came out, as far as I'm concerned. But Canberra Legend, the best there. I'll just leave it with the one for Randwick today, because I found it really tricky to say I want to launch into a few others. There are a few horses I like. I'm certainly quite happy to back Celestial Legend, as we've talked about.
And a couple out wide there too.
Yeah, and the other one I like, I guess, a little bit is Say Magique in the last, although...
Yep.
When you're tipping horses that have won one from 10, you start to get a little bit nervous, but a little bit like Canberra Legend, there's every opportunity for her here to win a race finally. So race 3, number 10. If you push me for a second one, race 10, number 3.
Well, yeah, I can push myself to 4.
Okay.
As usual, can't help myself. Look, Saturday best bets, Randwick, race 8, number 1, Militarized, which we've spoken about. That'll be the best there. And I really like this meeting at Hawkesbury. I'm going to go to race 3, as we spoke about, number 8, Fakhri. Clear favourite for me, brings the best last start figure. Everything points towards it improving and peaking off that run. So I can mark this much shorter than the $5. I think it's a really good bet. If you want to back it each way, you can do, but I'll be on the win. Race 4, number 1, Cumbilia. For Gerald Ryan and Sterling Alexio, coming out a very strong race behind Redbreast. So I think it's another one that's ready to peak third up. Good map as well. So it's around $3.10. And then I really like this horse. Race 6, number 13, probably on an Oaks campaign, I would suspect. Ahuri, Ray, help me out here. Have I said that right? See, I'm one of those people that watch replays with no sound.
Right.
And obviously comes back to get me. But Ahuri.
I'd go with that.
Yeah, okay. I think, you reckon I would know its name if I like it that much. I thought it was very impressive there last week at Newcastle. Got poleaxed on the turn, the way she still picked herself up and closed off. She's been well supported in early markets. I think she's $2.50. But if she's any chance of progressing to the metropolitan level and going into some of these big races, she has to be putting the weight on Saturday. So they're my four best bets. Really looking forward to tomorrow. I think it's going to be a great meeting.
Absolutely. And then next week is the start of the Autumn Carnival proper with Coolmore Classic Day. 3 weeks at Rosehill, the championships at Randwick, and can't believe it's here.
I know. I couldn't agree more. All right, well, good luck to everyone having a bet out there, and hopefully we can find a lot of winners.